It's not easy to find true love. And that's why more than a quarter of the adult population in America uses the internet, dating apps. But some new research shows just how dangerous dating apps could be. Not always, but can be. Analysis released finds that most dating apps still have a long way to go to reach what is considered grade A cybersecurity. According to the Business Digital Index team, they looked at 24 of the largest dating platforms and found that 75% of them received a grade D or F for their digital security. Let's go to Dr. Vahid Bezadon, our own cybersecurity expert here on Melissa in the Morning, and get his response. Are you shocked by that amount, Vahid? I mean, 75% of them, that's pretty bad.
Well, I wasn't really shocked. Yeah, unfortunately, this follows a track of studies on dating apps, their safety, security, and privacy issues. And even though the study was very broad and it was done passively, it's a decent indicator, at least a reminder of why being mindful of cybersecurity threats and privacy issues that may come from these apps is important. So, as you mentioned, Business Digital Index looked at 24 of the biggest dating apps and used a simple school-style grading system from A to F. And as you mentioned, the finding was that 75% of the apps that they looked at scored D or F. So this includes popular apps like Tinder, OkCupid, and Grindr, which got C or D grades. Many of the worst performers are bigger names in the industry, like Match, Zoosk, Christian Mingle, Adult Friend Finder. Essentially, what this means is if dating apps or students in the classroom, most of them would end up repeating the year.
Mm.
Now, why should this matter? Why is this different from your Netflix account? Well, when your Netflix account is hacked, you lose your watch list. When your dating profile is hacked, you could lose your reputation, your relationships, even your safety.
Mm.
There's been, unfortunately, numerous incidents of major breaches in matchmaking and dating services. About 10 years ago, one of the more notorious ones, infamous ones, happened, and that was Ashley Madison, where the private information of 30 million users was breached, and that led to people losing jobs, getting divorces, being blackmailed. And that was just the beginning in a time where the amount of information that dating services and applications maintained about individual users was not as vast as it is today.
I'm surprised, Vahid, that this isn't prioritized more. I mean, when you look at the statistics nationwide, and roughly 30% of the adult population in America uses dating apps, why wouldn't cybersecurity be more prioritized?
Well, this is my hypothesis. I think that in general, the economics of the problem are towards rapid growth and mass utilization of private information. These dating apps aren't just directories. They are essentially recommendation engines. They aim to learn as much as possible about the individual users so that they can find matches that that end up keeping the users on the platform and happy with the platform and the subscription fee that they're paying. When that particular front is pushed as hard as some of these bigger matchmaking services go for, cybersecurity ends up being a secondary or a tertiary concern.
Well, and I think, too, to your point, again, we have Dr. Vahid Bazed on here, who is our cybersecurity expert on the show. I'm wondering as well, Vahid, if it's a situation of a couple things. Like you said, most reputable dating apps will require a subscription. So people just think, well, I'm paying for this service. I'm aware that it's going to be a little bit like a vulnerability there because I am exposing myself. I'm putting myself out on a public platform to date. So they sort of have the misconception that, of course, there's going to be protections in place. I mean, it reminds me a lot of how people, I think, perceive social media, sometimes wrongfully, thinking that there are a lot of protections in place when that's not always the case.
Well, to be perfectly accurate, this study doesn't come out and say there are no cybersecurity measures put in place by these apps and services. What it reports on is some basic measures that are measurable from the outside by cybersecurity experts on how likely it is for these systems to be compromised through regular means. I believe that all of these apps and services have some cybersecurity measures put into place. But at the end of the day, when you go on a dating app, when you share your private or personal photos, when you share information about what you like, what you don't like, when you have private messages in there, it's going to be a very attractive target to hackers. And using a platform that is more mindful of the basics of cybersecurity is probably going to be more preferred. At the end of the day, any app is prone to being compromised. Again, from your Netflix account to your Amazon account to your online banking account to your dating app. Knowing that these platforms do not provide a silver bullet, 100% guarantee that the information, the data that you share with them is going to remain secure, is, in my opinion, 50% of the solution.
So I guess what you're saying, if I'm understanding correctly, Vahid, is that there's it's not foolproof, but there are some investments in it. But, I mean, are there ways that people should be protecting themselves no matter what dating app they get on?
There are a few pieces of advice and tips that I think all users of any dating app could benefit from. First and foremost, do not reuse credentials. Don't use the same password for your email, for your online banking, for your social media, and across different apps, including dating apps. Why? Because when one of those accounts and one set of those credentials is breached, and I'm saying when, not if, because it's almost inevitable for these pieces of information to be leaked or breached at some point in the future. When they're breached, there are cyber criminals who go out and check to see whether the password that you've used for a particular account can be used to log into another account of yours. And they do this automatically at scale. So do not reuse credentials. Another thing to keep in mind is that on the privacy side, some of the concerns are related to safety and ensuring that you don't become a victim to stalking and social tracing and such. So making sure that the images that you use on the dating app are not reused in your public social media or other public facing web presence is important, because Melissa, now you can do reverse image search to find where else a particular image or a particular face appears on the internet. Also, maybe not linking your personal social media with with your dating profile can be helpful with that regard, and ensuring that the information that you put on the app cannot be used to track your location in anything near real time. These are some of the basic pieces of advice that may help users stay a little safer on these apps.
We have Dr. Vahid Bezadun here, who's our cybersecurity expert on the show. And over the summertime, Vahid, there was another push to look at legislation to try and help with some of the potential dangers that can come from artificial intelligence. And actually, Senator Blumenthal, this was last month, was warning about some of the dangers that could come and wanted to kind of curb some of those dangers, especially from companies using AI. I was curious if you could weigh in on this. And certainly I know some of the bills that he has presented and, you know, not just at the national level, but even here locally in Connecticut, we've been trying to really look at this and get a good handle on it. What do you think? What's the latest on this?
So the discussions around AI regulations are always contentious. And it's not just across party lines. There are those who believe that any regulation at this point would hinder the very rapid pace of advancing the technology that we are experiencing or we've been experiencing for the past, well, decade or so. And that camp believes we don't yet know what this technology is going to be. Also, there are arguments saying that anything that we would want to protect or regulate against in the AI domain may already be covered by existing laws. The other camp believes that this is not the case. New regulation is needed to curb some of the at least immediately evident adverse impact of AI. For instance, Senator Blumenthal, as you mentioned, has been very active in this debate on the regulating camp. One of the bills that he has proposed along with the Republican senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, is about making sure that AI companies don't end up using creative works of artists, writers, and other creators with zero recourse. So training these AI systems like ChatGPT requires access to quite a bit of data. Believe it or not, ChatGPT was trained on the entirety of the internet. And that's still not enough. More specific samples of creative work is needed to make the generated output of those models at least somewhat more creative as the data that goes in it. So this particular bill, in my opinion, brings up a very interesting debate. I've already spoken to why I think this debate matters. If AI ends up doing as well or similarly to how artists, writers, creators perform, that would destroy the entire economic system, the incentive structure that allows those creators to engage in their trade and talent.
Right, to have a business, sure.
To have a business. And that has multiple long-term implications, one of which is for the AI companies themselves. What would happen if there's no more new creative data coming from bipedal Homo sapiens, from human beings.
Right.
Just because we killed the business model. So there are worthwhile debates that thankfully on the legislative side, Senator Blumenthal, on the state legislative side, Senator Maroney, many others pursue. We haven't landed on anything concrete on any of these matters yet. And the current federal administration is not a big proponent of regulation, particularly when it comes to AI. So we'll have to wait and see how things turn out over the next few years.
Yeah, certainly. And we know this will be just one of many conversations we'll continue to have here on the air. And Vahid, I always appreciate you giving us the time. I'm Melissa in the Morning. Thank you so much. And we will certainly talk again very soon.